Episode 163.
Take one step back, give a dead, you know, overview and say, okay, you know, when you're running around with your hair on fire, you can't see the problems in the back room. So you got to just take a step back, hire good people, and then let them do the job that you hire them to do.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results.
Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriato here, and thank you for hitting the play button. Welcome to Remarkable Results Radio, heard on subscription services like Apple iTunes, Google Play Music, Spreaker, and Stitcher Radio. And welcome to an in-depth discussion with shop owner Frank Scandura right here on episode 163. The episode is made possible through the sponsorship of Federal-Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus. For serious technical training and support, online, on-site, and on-demand, Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageGurus.com. You do know that getting a rating and review on iTunes just makes my day. Surprise me, and let me and the world know how you feel about the podcast. And thanks. Please check out the show notes for today's episode at remarkableresults.biz/E163. Frank Scandura's bio and more episode highlights, along with web addresses and book titles mentioned in the episode, are there for you. Ready for a total immersion into the mind and strategies of Frank Scandura? Owner of Frank's European in Las Vegas, Nevada, really gives it up and covers not only fundamental best practices, but trends, training, and great personal stories. Frank's been at it for 40 years and is partner with his wife, Deborah. From his first immersion into the business, pumping gas at 15 years old, along with writing service at Mercedes dealers, to being a part-time business coach for Elite, Frank gives up an accumulation of wisdom like the day his light bulb went on and he discovered a total appreciation for his team and customers. Why putting people and purpose first produces for Frank strong profits. How he has transitioned from technician to business owner, and it wasn't easy for him, a strong lesson learned. He also talks about the top books that inspired him to grow as a leader and implement personal change. Also how he has improved at hiring better people and the value of processes, parts supplier relationships, and what it takes to satisfy dissatisfied customers. Double down on this interview and get out your yellow pad. Don't miss a minute. I promise, a lot of memorable take-up. Now, meet Frank Scandura. A warm welcome to Frank Scandura from Frank's European in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hey, Frank, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
Hi, Carm. I sure am. Thank you very much for having me on.
Hey, glad to have you here. Now, you and I had a pre-call, and man, did I learn a lot about you that I can't wait to share with our listeners.
Oh, good. Thank you.
What I learned, I think you said right out of the chute, Carm, yeah, I got a double major, been there, done that.
That's correct. In the University of On-the-Job Training.
Well, that's going to hook just about everybody. They just will not put down their iPad because they're going to want to hear what you have to say. So big, beautiful building. I mean, I got on, I did some research. You know, that waiting room could actually be my house.
I thank you very much for that. It was professionally decorated. In fact, the decorator just happened to be here yesterday getting his car serviced, and we were talking about the compliments we get on it. And I think it was well worth the investment to have a professional come in. You know, it's nothing worse than a shop where they bring that couch from home because they don't have the heart to throw it away. And they really should have set it on fire on the way down to the shop and they put it in the waiting room. And to make the investment and make it nice for your customers.
Wi-Fi?
Yeah, free Wi-Fi for customers, absolutely. Yeah, as soon as they log in, it brings them right to my website.
Tell me about amenities. You got free coffee?
Yeah, so we have fresh baked cookies every morning, and it's amazing how many people ask for the cookies. Coffee, we have regular and decaf, of course. Free soda, regular and diet, and bottled water. In fact, our water bottles have our label on them, private label.
Isn't the free cookies the reason we go to certain hotels?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Because you get into that habit of asking for that. It's a nice treat. It's something that's so simple that it's incredible.
So tell me your best business story. If you and I were just sitting down and I said, Frank, so summarize it.
Boy, probably the day when I realized that I didn't do this on my own. I used to think that I built this business. And you ever have that piercing arrow of conviction after something came out of your mouth that had no business crossing your lips?
I have.
Man, and I had that, and it pierced my heart. And I knew it was from God. And I said, man, no, I didn't do this on my own. I am nothing without him. I am nothing without the people around me. I'm certainly nothing without my customers.
How powerful. Do your people appreciate your conviction?
Yes, I do believe so, because it lends to our integrity. You know what I'm saying? So every dime that comes into business goes into bank. Everything gets reported. Everything's on the up and up. And when there's a situation that comes up, and one of the employees, you know, says, well, what should we do? I said, well, what's the right thing to do? I don't have to tell them what to do. I have to remind them we do the right thing. And they go, yeah, that's right. And they take care of it.
Yeah, the good old do right rule. Hearing you right now makes me understand what your tagline or your slogan is. And on your website, it says unparalleled service made possible through honesty, integrity, and quality. Wow. Now, when did you come up with that?
Well, you know, because one of the exercises we do in our 20 group with Elite Pro Service is a mission statement. And that became my mission statement because, you know, it's what do? You research what other people are doing, and they have these really crafty mission statements like we're going to be the best and we're going to do this. And, well, I wanted customers to know who we were. And when you think about it, right, integrity is always doing the right thing even when nobody's looking. Honesty, you know, never making an emphasis, never exaggerating, never embellishing, simple things like that. But by putting it in writing and putting it on a 3x5 sign in the lobby, it's amazing that the customers see it and they go, yep, that's who I want to deal with. And it's a reminder to the employees, this is what we stand for.
How long you been with Elite?
About since 2013.
A good move for you, right?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, 100 of the best shop owners in the country all sharing best practices. It's awesome. And that's one side of Elite. The other side is the one-on-one coaching. I'm also a business coach. I coach other shop owners individually on a one-on-one basis.
What's it take to become a business coach?
You have to want to help people. You have to have a passion for helping somebody else. Because in Elite's principles, one of their principles is never putting money ahead of people, right? And we've adopted that here. As soon as you put money first, that's all you're focused on. And then you make mistakes and you take shortcuts. So when you never put money ahead of people and you have the heart of a teacher and you just love helping people, then you share what your knowledge is, right? Instead of saying, well, no, I don't want anybody to know what I'm doing. They might do it better. Well, that'd be okay, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I've read books on purpose and I totally agree. Purpose before profits. And ultimately, it gets you there. And the other thing that I really thought about your tagline, your slogan, unparalleled service made possible through honesty, integrity, and quality, almost sounds like if I worked for you, that would be my purpose every day in every transaction with every customer, with every team member, with every vendor.
Correct. Absolutely. And by putting it in writing and not just talking about it, by putting in writing and, you know, we have mandatory staff meetings once a week and we refer to that on occasion. I don't read it every meeting. Maybe I should, but I'd remind everybody, this is what we're about. And when you do the right thing, the money comes, right? When you don't put money first, the money always follows. It's amazing. It's an amazing principle. It's like reaping and sowing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, what's one thing that's got you fired up right now?
It's actually teaching again. AutoVitals is an incredible product, digital inspections and shop management, workflow management, technician timekeeping and things like that. I'm so fired up about that. I've actually asked them if I could help teach shop owners how to use the program. So we set up a classroom at the shop and I'm doing more and more with them.
So tell me about your classroom.
Mm-hmm. 20 seats, 270-inch flat screen TVs, and we go step by step on how to use this program and best practices, right down to the point of how to address the customer, get the email address, and follow up. And it's a very detailed process.
So, are you using this in a regional basis for AutoVitals?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And there's some other trainers that we just certified in different parts of the country. We're trying to get enough people involved who want to help other shops learn how to do it so that there's a training facility within a couple of hours of any given shop.
What a luxury to have a training center. How large is it?
It is a luxury. My particular building used to be a Sears NTB store.
Okay.
And so I've got a 3,000 square foot warehouse area where they used to warehouse the tires. Mm-hmm. So we use that for our training, equipment storage, our parts, special tools, and things like that.
So tell me, how many parts suppliers or how many automotive aftermarket training companies come in and use your place?
I have asked a number of them to use my facility, and I've offered it to them for free, and zero have taken me up on it, believe it or not. I don't understand why. I've offered it to some of the bigger companies, Worldpac and even Bosch, and maybe they think I'm up to something. I don't know, but it's a generous free offer.
I can't even speculate why not. Wow. Okay, well, then we're going to leave that one hanging up there.
Like low-hanging fruit. It's low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
It cuts their expenses. They can lower the price of the class. They can get more people registered. It's when a company gets big enough, I think it's more difficult to make those, you know, grassroots decisions, to be honest. And it's too many people involved and, you know, but what are you going to do?
You bring up a great point, but still locally, there are regional people that can see the value of this. And I just can't believe it would be all corporate politics or BS.
Well, hopefully somebody will pick up on this podcast and they'll let me know if they've changed their mind or what their thoughts are.
Yeah, I hope someone hears it and picks up the phone and says, hey, Frank, we've been missing this thing.
Yep.
Okay, so take me back to the day that you dipped your toe into being your own businessman.
Well, my very, very first taste of it was when I was probably 15 years old.
Wow.
Pumping gas at the local gas station. And I'd hear people talking to the shop owner that they can't afford to do the repair in a car. And he was a very savvy business owner. And he'd say, well, I can't afford to fix it for you either. And I'd ask him if I could talk to the customer and I'd fix the car at my house. And guy would say, if you trust that kid to work on your car, you're out of your mind. And they'd say, well, what are you going to charge me? And man, I'd work super cheap. And that's really how I first dabbled my toe in it. Then series of events, I ended up working at a service station. I got hurt, ended up in Las Vegas, riding service at the Mercedes dealership, and ended up buying a shop that was going out of business and turned that into a profitable enterprise in about 3 months. For personal reasons, my kids were getting out of control, so I walked away from that, met my wife, got married. I asked my wife to get a second job to keep me in a lifestyle I was accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
When she stopped laughing, I said, well, then I need to open up a repair shop because that's what I do best. And then Frank's, we opened up in 2001.
A lifestyle I've come accustomed to.
Yes.
Do you like living the lifestyle you have now?
You know what? I've got a great life. I've got 4 great kids, 7 great kids, grandchildren, not great grandchildren, 7 wonderful grandchildren. Things are good. You know, things are good. It's when you think about the worst possible thing that could happen, if that's the worst thing that happens, it's still going to be a great day.
I'm talking with Mike Zralik, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Mike, are you an extension of the technical support center we all know as Garage Guru?
Most definitely. You know, I spend a lot of time there. I'm involved in all the classes that go on there. I actually host classes there, such as our ASC test prep courses. So very much so an extension of that.
Mike, you're in the shop. So what's the greatest outcome that you see from the techs and service advisors that you're spending time with?
Not only are they learning about great product, but we get to talk shop. So, like, you know, I was in a shop earlier today, and we were talking about some electrical diagnosis he was doing, and he was actually having a problem finding some schematics, and we were able to work with that and talk back and forth. So I was able to get educated on a problem he's having in the field, you know, where I can share that with others, and I can share other ideas from other people with him.
Do you actually put product in the hands of the technicians?
You have to. That's, you know, in this industry, a lot of guys are like myself. You got to touch it, feel it, play with it. You know, just telling them about features and benefits isn't going to sell it. You put it in their hands, that's going to sell it hands down.
So you take the new Wagner OEX brake pad and you put it in someone's hands. What happens?
First thing they do is say, wow. You know, and then they start asking questions about the unique design of it, the unique shape, and the purpose of that. You know, and they're very blown away by the technology that we put into it. They're amazed by it, and they're loving it.
Eyes light up, aha moments.
You bet. You bet. And why is it taking so long to get this out in the market?
And I need them, and I want it right now.
Exactly.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. Okay, out of your career and business, I know there is a moment in time where you move from working in your business to on it.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about that revelation.
Yeah. I think every business owner, like, for example, I was a technician and by background. Some of the best technicians in the world are the worst businessmen in the world. It's just our nature. And I had to learn the difference between being a really great tech or a really great service advisor to being a really great businessman. Some fabulous books are out there, and The E-Myth is one of them. John Maxwell has a number of books on leaderships and Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. These kinds of books really inspired me. Thinking for Change, that really changed my life and made me realize, take one step back, give a dead, you know, overview and say, okay, you know, if when you're running around with your hair on fire, you can't see the problems in the back room. So you got to just take a step back, hire good people, and then let them do the job that you hire them to do.
Was it tough for you?
It was extremely hard. The hardest thing I ever did was bring my toolbox home, because I would run right in the shop and go, I'll get this, or this is minor, or let me do this. So to actually take my toolbox home was very, very hard. One of the best decisions I ever made, taking my toolbox home. Because it allowed my guys to do the job I hired them to do.
I've heard former guests on the podcast say, I put a tie on to keep me out of the bays.
Yeah, yeah. And so true, right? Because I used to wear the technician uniform. And then just that mindset. So now I wear slacks. You know, I got this really nice embroidered black shirt. My wife, you know, keeps my clothes pressed and fresh and ready for me every day. And I'm not a technician. I need to stop acting like one.
You don't look like the boss. You look like the leader.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's my goal. Yeah.
Perfect. So what are you getting better at?
I'm getting better at hiring good people. I'm getting better at holding them accountable to the job I hired them to do. One of the things at Elite Worldwide is hiring the right people and bringing out the best of them. And we talk about, we hire for talent, right? But we fire for attitude and action, right? We hire, so we got to take time to make sure we're hiring correctly and hiring the right people.
Your business culture must be near and dear to your heart.
It is. I take it personally, too. I take it real personal. When a customer's disappointed, I'm disappointed. You know, when something's not right, it's personal. It really is personal. I do put my heart and soul into this.
Think back to a hire you made, and when that person joined the business, your culture changed for the worst. Ever happened to you?
Oh boy, it sure has. Yeah, yep, it sure has. I've had a couple guys who didn't have the integrity they alluded that they had when I hired them. One guy we hired, a few weeks after we hired him, we got an employment verification letter from either a property manager or something like that, and he lied on how long he'd been here and how much he was making. I said, well, if you're going to lie to the bank for financial gain, you're probably going to lie to my customers for financial gain. You can't work here. I would never do that. You did it. This is because integrity is always doing the right thing when nobody is looking. So I'm sure they didn't expect me to get that, employment verification, because if they had any idea, they may not have filled it out incorrectly. So I had to let him go that day. And boy, was he mad.
Great story. You don't regret that you did that, do you?
I don't, because, I would have regretted problems later on. I would have really regretted seeing, obviously money was more important to him than anything else, right? So,
ever think about the future, any tech advances that could disrupt your business model in the next 5 to 10 years?
I think about the future often because 5 years goes fast. Anybody who just wants to just take a moment, grab a cup of coffee, and think about how fast the last 5 years of your life have gone by.
Yeah,
it's incredible. I think about it often. And we're creating a program where we're going to start training our own technicians in-house, because it's getting harder and harder. Too many guys are leaving the industry because of bad operators or bad opportunities, or they're just struggling for whatever reason. So we've decided to train our own. So there's a couple of really great apprentice programs that are coming down the pike for that.
Now, would you ever bring in local training talent and put them in your training center just for your own people?
Training talent, being a trainer,
instructors
for technicians.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of good organizations already, schools and colleges. So let those mechanisms take place to give those basic automotive, fundamentals. What is an alternator? How does it work? What is a starter? How does it work? Okay. And Ohm's law, and all this stuff. And then let me take it from there. And then I'll teach him. It's sad, because I know a lot of shop owners that hire young people out of these trade schools, mm-hmm. and they think they've hired a technician, and they haven't. They've hired an apprentice, and we have to remember that. These are guys that want to work on cars and are just starting out, so we have to really be very careful how we treat them.
How often do you have a sit-down meeting, Frank, with your supplier?
That's a good question, because last year was a panelist at Apex for auto parts suppliers, wanting to know what they could do to get more business. And it was a really great meeting. And none of them have contacted me since then. So another company, and I don't want to mention names, said, hey, did you hear about this training? They were handing out flyers to everybody. I said, nope, I didn't hear about it. I didn't get the flyer. As a matter of fact, my representative hasn't visited me in over a year. So I don't get – they're losing. There's something going on that they're not – they forgot about that personal touch. Because I used to get my guy on the phone all the time, Frank, how you doing? How's the kids? I'd say, Mom, how you doing? How's the kids? Got a new grandkid, whatever. And we'd have that personal relationship. So you want to do business with people, right? Like, my customers don't buy brake pads and rotors. They buy trust. So it's the same thing. So if this gets out to the suppliers, you guys need to stop getting rid of those, what you consider expensive salesmen, because those are the guys that know the product and establish their relationships.
You know, my background is distribution, and that mm-hmm. you're hitting my heart when I hear you say that. I've always said, Frank, that the relationship you have with your salesperson is the centerpiece of value between you
it
and
sure
your
is.
Distribution channel. Yep. So you're yep. telling me that that is just weak today?
Yeah, it really has. I've seen my really good, talented, knowledgeable salesmen, tell me stories about how commissions keep getting cut and they keep making less and less money. Dealerships do it as they become bigger and bigger, corporate, these corporate national, automotive chains. They'll take that guy that used to make, you take a service director, used to make a couple hundred grand a year, and you put a guy in there that makes 50, you're going to get what you pay for, right? So, and I see it on the parts distribution and on the parts suppliers. So taking these really talented guys out of the industry because they're making too much money, and they're putting in people who they're paying a fraction of it to, and they're getting what they pay for. These are just guys that aren't trained to care. They're not paid to care.
I think of compressed margins. I think of shifting share between, the traditionals to, more online. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why that could happen. But still in all, I do believe that you would probably support a supplier that gave you a very strong personal relationship with a salesperson.
He'd get more of my business.
So you were talking just a few moments ago about being on a panel last year, but I think you're also going to be on a panel this year at Apex.
Same panel, as a matter of fact. The same guys. I'm going to, because, you know, I'm not afraid to push a few buttons. I'm going to ask how many of you guys were here last year and how come never, none of you called me. So, you know, and you, if you look me up, you look up Frank M. Scanderer or Frank Scanderer, you can see the articles I've written for Import Car Magazine. You can see the all of the social media stuff that I'm attached to, whether it's LinkedIn or Facebook. It's not hard to get a hold of me. My information's out there. So that's going to be my question. I'm really surprised that none of them reached out.
Well, hey, I have to thank you for being so accessible to me. I don't know if it was my first or second attempt to get you, and you picked up the phone, and we hooked up. And so I really thank you. Your panel again this year is going to be selling parts for imports. You're trying to tell the suppliers out there, hey, I buy that stuff. Will you sell it to me?
Yep. Establish a relationship. Come out here and tell me how we're going to work together to give the customer a better product. Okay. Now, if you're in distribution, so, you know, maybe a lot of people don't know this who are listening. When I buy a part for a car, I usually get a one year parts only warranty on it. If that part goes bad in a year, I buy the labor. I pay my guys to put a new one on. I happen to have a 3 year, 36,000 mile warranty for my customers. So that means after year one, years two and three, it's 100% my responsibility. So don't come in here with this new fancy best idea, and this is great, you need this, and don't stand behind it. You know, we've had it with brake pads, you know, for example, somebody come in and say, hey, look at this new brake pad out here. They're competitively priced and they're really great. I said, listen, I don't deal with brake pads that are not OE because, you know, when I put a brake pad that's on a car that squeaks, people don't blame the brake pad, they blame me. And sure enough, you know, the brakes would squeak and it's like, oh, I'm sorry. Let me give you another set. It's, you have to stand behind the product with me.
You're a Bosch service center, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Don't they give you an extended warranty?
Bosch, well, they don't necessarily give me an extended warranty, but I can get on a Bosch component, I can get reimbursed labor.
Okay.
For 2 years in some components. Yeah, 1 year in others. Batteries, I believe, is zero. They'll have to explain that one to me.
Describe the learning culture at Frank's European.
As far as training for my people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for the service advisors, there's a number of books that are mandatory. The very first book everybody's required to read when they're hired is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
What a powerful book.
I tell you what, life changer, right? So talking about some of the books that affected my life, it really is a powerful book. Written in the 30s. And so relevant today. It really, really is. So there's a number of books that I require my people to read. Elite Master Service Advisor Training for my advisors after, you know, a little bit of time on the job. And technicians, there's a number of online trainings. I've got two people going next Saturday. No, November 12th it is, to Phoenix for some sales training. So whatever's out there, train. You can never stop learning.
And you're paying for it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I do pay for it. Sometimes I make it voluntary just to see who's going to show. But most of the time it's mandatory paid time. Here's an example. I took my three service advisors and asked them to come in on a Saturday because we're going to go over the Auto Vitals program because I saw some, you know, discrepancies in the way they were operating. I paid every one of them overtime for working on Saturday for that training class. It was a mandatory class. And I know the law requires me to do it, but, you know how employees are. If you tell them to show up, there's going to be a training class. They're not going to ask because they're afraid they're going to lose their job, right?
How generous.
But is it generous or is it just, again, going back to what is the right thing to do?
It's the smartest thing to do. It's the do right rule. It's the culture. I mean, everything that I hear from you is building an uncompromising culture where I bet people want to come and work for you.
You know what? It's true. I do get phone calls. I do get people to stop by. Yes. Unfortunately, a little too picky. So not everybody, you know.
That's okay. Hey, just like a sports team, right?
Yeah, you know what? You can't be an A team with B players. Good point.
That's a great quote. Hey, the latest KPI you're working on.
Well, we're about to set our goals for next year. So we're looking at, you know, how many billable hours are we capable of doing? And that translates into X number of dollars in sales. And what does that look like for the year? What's our projected profit? How do we go about sharing that profit? We're going to hopefully be able to put a profit sharing in moving forward for next year. So for automotive repair, the one perishable item we have is labor. I do an exercise for my clients. I said, for every minute a technician's not working in my shop is $4.37 of lost revenue. So that's 1/60th of the hourly plus, but you know, 1/60th of the projected part sales, right? $4.37 every minute a technician's not productive. That's what I really love about AutoVitals, because it helps manage that better than anything else out there.
It's been said that processes and systems win wars.
Well, if it didn't, there wouldn't be 14 bazillion McDonald's serving the exact same crummy hamburger all over the world. And I say that because everybody knows it's not the best hamburger in the world, but it's consistent. And that's because of processes and systems.
So when you realized that you needed to have processes and systems when you went into the E-Myth zone.
Correct. Yep.
Describe for me a couple of the things you did like early on that really made a difference.
It's, you know, it's really simple. It's, and to get started, for those of you who don't have systems in place, this is how you get started. When there's a problem, you make bullet points on how to solve that problem. Okay. As simple as greeting the customer, asking the right questions, how to write the repair order, how to final invoice the repair order. Just, and it doesn't take, you don't have to write a 17-page manual for every single thing you want done. One-page bullet points usually gets it done, and that becomes a process.
Excellent advice. Excellent advice. Hey, tell us your best customer service story.
Well, I don't know if I have one specific, but generally speaking, when I got this, some of the best training in the world from Mercedes-Benz for customer service. You know, let me put that out there. It was wonderful training. And I remember when I first started the dealership was growing. They had two service advisors and they were adding a third. I had zero dealership experience, zero service advisor experience. I was a gas station mechanic back east and moved out to Las Vegas. And the two advisors wouldn't let me near a car to save my life. I had a hard time getting new customers. And then one day they both took off. One went into the restroom. The other one went down to the shop. Customer gets out of the car, slams his door, smoke pouring out of his ears, furious. And that's when I learned how to listen, comfort, and tell him, don't worry, I'll get it taken care of. And that's my really best customer service story, is just let them vent, get it off their chest, and just take care of it. It's very, very rare when a customer is demanding something they're not really entitled to. It's very rare. And I've learned that if you ask the customer, what can I do to make this right? They will ask for less than what you're thinking you're going to give them.
So true.
Right? I need to buy this guy a new car. And he's thinking, man, just, I don't know, wash my car. You know, something just, and they just want to be heard and validated. And here's what happens, right? You don't know what's going on in somebody's life, right? Every single person you know has something going on in their life you have no clue about. So when you're in a car business, the last thing they need is car trouble. And they're going to come in and they're going to be agitated and upset about something and just dump on you. So you have to just remember that something's going on in their life that may have nothing to do with the car, nothing to do with you, and they just don't need this trouble right now. So when you think that way, it just makes it so much easier to deal with their car problems.
I've heard some great stories over my lifetime in this industry about having a promise time on a vehicle, say it was going to be 3 o'clock, and it set off, and you were going to be late, so it set off a terrible domino effect.
A chain of events, yes.
That affects someone's life, because it seems that today our lives are so scripted, you know, minute by minute, and you almost have no room for wiggle. No room for wiggle. So what are you spending your dollars on for marketing?
You know, it's funny, because we're going over, again, our budgets and plans for next year. And I going to do a new postcard campaign for next year, which is like once a quarter, I'll mail out postcards to the customers that we want to track the most. But this past year, I spent the least I've spent in a long time. We have concentrated our effort on our Top Fuel website, where the SEO is really good, and we're starting to really attract people online. If you're not paying attention, 50 or 60% of Google searches are done on mobile devices. So you've got to be ready and be prepared for that. Google is going to start delisting sites that are not mobile friendly. So you really got to pay attention to what's going on. Social media is really starting to become prevalent. The millennials are getting sick and tired of being told all they do is sit around in their mom's basement. They're starting to get out in the workforce. They're starting to buy cars, and they're starting to make a difference in the country. So need to start paying attention to them too and communicating with them the way they want to be communicated with.
Are you doing any Facebook Live?
No, I haven't done any Facebook Live yet. And I'm watching what everybody else is doing, and I'm not really impressed. There's too many people coming in. I think we probably will, but it needs to be more personal, and it needs to be more about, I help Susie get her car fixed so she can get her kids to school. You know, that's what I think social media should be about. It shouldn't be about, oh, listen to this noise, this car's got a bad water pump kind of thing. You know, people don't care about that. They want to know you made a difference in somebody's life.
Telematics, data,
yeah.
Driverless cars, yeah. Car mm-hmm. sharing, hydrogen cell. Talk about future. The future is now. Your opinion?
Yeah. You just train, learn, be prepared to deal with it. The car dealerships will never be able to handle all of the cars they sell. They just can't handle it. So they need us. They may not admit it and they may not like it, but they need us. Good independence. I'm kind of excited about electric cars and hydrogen fuel cells. I think it's a great idea. There's going to be different service opportunities. Just figure it out and do it. You know, I remember as a kid in the gas station, the mechanics pitching a fit about electronic ignition. Oh, and they're going to make it so we can't fix cars, and we're not going to be able to do this anymore. And I looked at him and I said, do you mean to tell me that little black box in there that I don't have to adjust any more points? And the guy goes, well, yeah. I said, I'm in. Because anybody who's done it, you got to do it 3 or 4 times. It's a pain in the neck. You get it out. The timing's off. You got to reset the timing. The points were out. The timing's off. Give me a break. Electronic ignition was the best thing that ever happened. So you just embrace the technology and move along.
I've heard that before. In fact, we did an interview with Tom Myers, a technician, our second technician interview. And he said that his life was almost lifted when electronic ignition came out.
I had the same reaction. You know, voltage regulators built into the alternator now. It's so much easier. The contact points, cleaning. It's everything's better.
You bring up such an interesting point. On your website, you list all the models and the vehicles you work on. You called Frank's European, although I saw Lexus and Toyota in there.
Well, and there's a reason, because they are the number one hybrid vehicles out there. And so we are all hybrid trained, because everybody's going to have more and more hybrid electric and plug-in electric vehicles. So we're trained in battery service on hybrid vehicles. And a lot of European owners end up in a Lexus. Sometimes they come back because it's not what they expected. Sometimes they never come back because it's more than they expected. It all depends on their attitude. And locally, we can really give people a good value on those cars. So, we don't do a lot of the other domestics and Asians, but because of the hybrid technology, that's why we do that. We have the factory scanners for the Lexus and Toyotas to be able to do those.
Smart. So you're evolving. You're just not letting the name of your business stifle you in any way.
Been down that road. It was Frank's Mercedes service when I first opened.
Oh.
And my thought process was, I was the guy Frank at the Mercedes dealer. So people knew Frank and Mercedes. It resonated in their mind.
Smart.
To this day, I left the dealership in 93. To this day, people say, are you the same Frank that used to work at Mercedes dealer? But then, you know, oh, I didn't know you worked on BMWs. Oh, I didn't know you worked on Audis. So we changed the name a few years ago to Frank's European Service. And it was a frightening experiment because my baby, right? That's my name, my brand, my legacy. And it turned out the brand was Frank's. We really did a really aggressive campaign. We told all the Mercedes owners in one letter why we were changing to Frank's European Service. We're still going to take care of you the same way. And we sent all of our other European customers why we're changing the name. Nobody noticed. They really didn't notice. It wasn't even a hiccup. Google noticed because the rankings and stuff, we had to get the name, address, and phone worked out. That took time. But the brand really is Frank's. Frank's and Team Frank's.
So you also have Tesla located on your, how many, you know, what models we work on. Is that for SEO reasons or are you just trying to stay out there ahead of the curve?
Just trying to stay out there ahead of the curve. If you noticed, I don't know if you picked it up, Mercedes just introduced the Metris van.
I saw that.
And it's on our site as well. So again, you know, they're going to spend $300 bazillion marketing their new van. I can see no reason on this planet not to rank when somebody's looking for Metris service.
You got it knocked down, Frank. I like it. I like it. We can learn a lot from you. So think of an industry problem and give me a solution.
I think the biggest problem is technicians right now. We're in a little bit, you know, guys are not leaving where they're at. They're afraid to leave. And there's guys leaving the industry. Heard a report recently that Silicon Valley is recruiting a lot of techs for a lot of this autonomous driving stuff that they're working on and artificial intelligence stuff. And they're doing things that we can't do as far as benefits and wages. So they're taking our talent, our mechanical talent away. So that's our biggest challenge right now. And that's why we need to get into high schools. I'm on the advisory board of a couple of high schools in town. I'm on the advisory board of the technical college in town. Beta touch being out there. There's still kids growing up that want to work on cars. And we've got to find them and encourage them because the schools have stopped doing that. Schools are dropping their automotive programs. It's sad. I don't know. You know, maybe we need to get to the guidance counselors and show them this is a career where these kids can make $30,000 a year entry level, $60,000 a year mid range, and up to 100 and more as a master.
So that word's just not getting out.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not. Used to be, you know, oh, that dummy put him in shop class, you know?
Yeah.
It was like disparaging. And it's not anymore. It's highly technical. You know it.
What if we had a national visit a counselor or, you know, a parent's day and everyone in the aftermarket, the likes of Frank Scandura and all went out within a certain week with a message about the value of becoming an automotive tech today?
That's a great idea. And there's a company doing it. Not a company. There's a state doing it. I can't remember if it was Minnesota or something like that. They've created an entire website around it. I'm going to do a little R&D.
Would you do that? Yeah. Do me a favor. We have got to interview whoever is doing that because
sure, I can send it to you.
In my mind, that needs to be a countrywide program.
It needs to be national. Yep. And there's another national program that Mike Davidson at Parkway Automotive in Arkansas just started. And let me get the acronym correct.
ASLA.
A-S-L-A.
A-S-L-A. Yeah, and, exactly. You know, we've had Mike on. We've done interviews all about ASLA. Okay. And, you know, I like Mike. He's a great guy. I really call him a friend. So, yeah, we'll put some show notes in there and reference Mike's program again, his great program, his apprentice program. Hey, listen, what are the must-attend conferences for shop owners?
Apex. Now, SEMA Week coming up. SEMA's all the tires and wheels and lift kits and tailgates and, you know, accessories and stuff. Yeah, that's nice if that's what you do. Apex is where I learned as a business owner some of the new stuff that was out there. And as a matter of fact, that's where I met the editor of Import Car Magazine. It became part of the editorial advisory board there. So very important. That's one of the must attend conferences. And there's more and more popping up. So you need to pay attention to what's going out there. ASA does a lot of stuff. Ratchet & Wrench is doing stuff. So there's stuff going on out there. Just be aware. Go learn. Stop sitting around waiting for the world to come to you.
Frank, unlimited time and money. If you ever had unlimited time and money, what would you be doing?
Teaching people. I would probably travel to trade shows and help teach people. I love helping people learn. I really do. When I got, you know, 6 or 8 shop owners into class here learning auto models, and they go, oh, and they're getting excited because now they can take information back and help their people do a better job. That fires my rockets.
Wow. I've always wanted.
I've always wanted a detached garage that I can play in, and I've got that. When I was working on those cars at home as a teenager, it was out in the driveway in upstate New York. So that's probably the one thing I've always wanted, and I've got it. And I finally just put my first project car in there, so got a old Crossfire Corvette in there I'm working on now.
How much fun is that? Hey, we're in upstate New York.
About an hour north of New York City, Orange County, New York, County Chopper Territory, right between Middletown and Newburgh, not far from West Point.
You know, I'm from Buffalo, so that's...
Buffalo, the snow belt, yes.
Ah, it's about 8 hours away from there. I get that.
Yeah. I think it starts snowing in August up there, doesn't it?
I want to tell you, the day that we're recording right now, we're in October. It is 80 degrees out.
Nice. Very cool.
We have had such an unbelievable summer and fall. Hey, Frank, what's the shop of the future going to look like?
Boy, that's a great question. The shop of the future is going to be more technology dependent, where customers are going to be able to make more decisions on their smartphone. Information that's being gathered right now, you know, and what kind of cars are getting service and what kind of service they're getting is going to be more readily available for people. So the shop of the future is going to be more in the hands of the customer. It's not going to be commoditized so much anymore, I don't think.
What do you mean in the hands of the customer?
Because they're going to pick up their smartphone and they're going to see a video on Frank's European service and they're going to see information and they're going to look at the digital inspection and they're going to look at their recommendations and they're going to go, oh, yeah, that's right. I need to get that done. They're going to push a button to make an appointment. And they're already going to know a lot of the information. The days of calling up and saying, well, how much is, you know, an oil change or brakes or whatever are going to go away. That information is going to be right at their fingertips, I believe.
But doesn't that make things commodities?
People still buy trust.
How do you equate trust in a smartphone experience?
Well, because when a customer calls up, let's say they ask the question, how much? They ask that because they don't know what else to ask. They don't know to ask, tell me about your technicians, tell me about your mission statement, tell me about your warranty, you know, what kind of boss do you have? They don't know to ask those questions. So they're going to call up and say, how much do you charge for brakes? Because my brakes are noisy or whatever. So the very first question needs to be, what is it that makes you believe you need brakes?
Yeah.
Tell me what's going on. How do you use the car? You know, what is your schedule like? Can you get it in today? Can I do a free brake inspection for you? Let me see what's going on because I really do care about my customers, right? So if I get that message across to my advisors, they get that message across to the customers, and then it's not about $90 or $99 or $109.
I'm with you, but you got to get them in the door for that to happen.
Correct. Yeah.
And can you take that little mini question answer period into a smartphone, into a non-touched relationship in order to, you know, hey, listen, we're going to ask you these kind of questions. Please come in and talk to us in person.
I do believe we can. I believe we'll be able to. We're going to probably make some adjustments along the way.
Okay.
But as some of this technology's change and people, you know, for example, the digital inspections that we're sending people now, pictures of everything that's going on, pictures of what's good, pictures of what needs attention soon, pictures of what needs attention now. The transparency is enormous, right? Pictures of the technician, pictures of the service advisor. So it's not those guys in the back. It's Barney. Barney worked on my car. Here's what he looks like, you know, because you know what it's like. People bring their car in and you go home and Martha says, well, what'd they do? And Bob says, well, I don't know, but here's the bill. It was $1,400. You know what I'm saying?
Do you let Barney interact with the customer?
I don't.
Okay.
I shouldn't say I don't. I prefer not to because the service advisors are the professionals. They're the ones who are trained to deal with the customer. Mm-hmm. But there's times when you know, we got to get Barney out of his purple suit and get him up front, share the love. There are times for that, you know.
That's good. Funny. I got that. I figured that one out. Hey, you wrote a book, Frank, How to Take Care of Your Vehicle So It Will Take Care of You.
Yes.
When did that happen?
I'd have to look at the book. I think it's been about 2.5 or 3 years now. I got tired of people saying, well, all this knowledge you have, you should write a book. So it's an interview style book. And the publisher that helped me do it is really a lot of fun to do it. And what I do is I offer it to customers for free if they let me sign it. Because I figure my signature ruins the value of the book. So if they let me autograph it to them, we do give it away for free. In fact, thanks for the reminder. I'm looking over. I got about 10 or 12 books left. I probably need to order some more. So it's cool because my favorite customer is the one who asks questions, right? And I use this story in the book too. Women are the best customers. And the reason is if you tell a guy he needs a ball joint, he goes, I'll do it next time. He has no idea what a ball joint is and no idea what you just told him. If I tell a woman she needs a ball joint, the first thing she says is, what is a ball joint? What does it do? What happens if I don't do it? When can it be done? How much will it cost? She's going to ask questions to be able to make an informed decision. So those are the kinds of things we talk about in the book. You know, what kinds of services are important in the car and following the maintenance schedule that's in the book and, you know, avoiding those profit center type services. It's just a way to communicate to the customer the ins and outs, talk about extended warranties, what to look for in a service provider.
Did you ever have an author signing day?
No, not specifically. Don't want to draw that much attention to myself.
I think it's great. Congratulations for doing it. What did I fail to ask you that you want to talk about?
Man, I think you got it. You know, I got 7 grandkids, and the reason why grandchildren and grandparents get along so well is because we share a common enemy, the parents.
Listen, thanks for sharing your wisdom and your stories. One last request.
Yes, sir.
Can you share with us words of wisdom that you live by or guide you each day?
God first. When he's first, things fall into place. When you look to him as the ultimate authority in your life, and you look to him, you know, people say, well, you know, fear, you're supposed to fear the Lord, right? Fear is not be afraid. Fear is reverence. So when you have reverence for something bigger than yourself, it's easier to be humble. It's easier to love people and realize love is the secret. If we all just loved our neighbors as we loved ourselves, this would be a far better world.
Thanks, Frank.
My pleasure.
Hey, aftermarketers, thanks for joining Frank Scandura from Frank's European in Las Vegas, Nevada. Did you enjoy this talk as much as I did? I loved how straight up and giving Frank was in sharing his strategies and passion for the industry. There's more on the show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E163. Hey, I'm very interested in your ideas, insights, and or comments. Just email me at carm@remarkableresults.biz or head over to the contact page on the website. Thanks for helping spread the word. Tell your friends and coworkers about the Aftermarket's premier podcast that delivers powerful insights and stories for you. Entrepreneurs, technicians, sales professionals, service advisors, and educators are among the many industry professionals that listen each week. I'm thankful and grateful for your support. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.